Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
Good. Speaking of five kids, hey?
Yes, that's right.
Actually, we're taking all five to the game tonight as well, so it'll be a bit of an interesting go tonight because I'm actually off. I flew in from Chicago this morning, so I have the rest of the day off and taking everybody to the game.
I know TSN's got a much better host, much better good-looking host, I should say. Not better, just better looking.
Yes, the lovely Catherine Dolan is in town. By the way, we are happy to announce that she's in Alberta. She used to be out in Toronto doing work for us, but she's recently moved to Calgary and will be working with Jermaine and I fairly regularly. So we're thrilled to have Catherine back on board.
Oh, really? Okay, there you go. Watch out, Rashog. Watch out.
I
got a little. Oh, geez, that means you won't be mailing it in as much. Now you got a little competition.
I know. I actually got to put in an effort as I'm taking the night off tonight, so she can do my job. But no, but if I'm in trouble, then you're gonna have to look over your shoulder because if I get gunned, then I'm coming for your job. So just heads up for you, friend.
Hey, I'm all right, except I'm not sure you could run my business. So we'll see.
Oh no, you can stay on as the business guy. I'll just be the.
Well, that would be even better. I would love to do that. That would be great. I could be the boss.
I'm sure the listeners wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm not sure about that.
Yes.
Let's talk about a few. Earlier today, I've been reading the last few days. Everybody now is starting to look for next season, understandably in Edmonton. And I am amazed.
October.
Yeah, and I'm amazed at how many people have Martin Rinson as a lock in the top four defense of the Edmonton Oilers. And I'm like, after 40 freaking games, if the organization does that, it's the exact same thing that happened to. Remember when Sam Gagner scored 28 points in 28 games down the stretch as a rookie? And everyone said, man, this 40 games is not a big enough window to say this is a lock top four defenseman.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know who everybody is or who's actually doing that. I think he'll take a real solid run at a spot next year. I think he's doing a lot to gain confidence with the head coach and probably a certain amount to gain confidence with the general manager. So when Craig McTavish is assessing his needs, does he feel like he desperately needs to go find somebody to fill in on his third pairing? Well, maybe not. Maybe he can look at that and say, oh, Marinson has shown that we can probably count on him in our third pairing next year. That might be what Craig McTavish is saying. So, look, he's playing well. He's proving that he probably belongs in the NHL, but I wouldn't be penciling him into a top four role. I think that Oilers fans should have learned with Jeff Petrie what happens when you overestimate a young defenseman in his first 100 games.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. Jason and I had a similar discussion yesterday, and I said, I think there's room for the two kids to come back, but that's if somebody's on top. If we don't see Beloff and we don't see Larson and they bring in two players who can take the minutes. It doesn't mean it's in stone, but I think we're seeing glimpses that show they should at least go into camp with a chance to grab two spots.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that. And look, it's impossible to really even have this discussion accurately right now because I think everybody would agree that job numero uno for the general manager and his pro scouting staff, whether it's through the draft or at the draft or whenever it is, but job number one is to try and improve the blue line. And I fully would expect that they'll try and add higher-end defensemen if they can. So I know it's not easy, but it's not supposed to be easy. They still have to get it done. So it's hard to judge who's going to be where on the blue line because if Craig McTavish gets his job done this summer, we'll be dealing with a whole different set of variables come training camp next year. If we're talking next year in training camp about only one new face, say, in the top four or five on the blue line, then it's not good enough. Craig's got to get more than that done on this front.
Well, it's going to be tough. You know, I was looking at defensemen and, you know, been compiling it, legitimate ones. Because it's easy to say, go out and get a top two defenseman. It doesn't mean anything to me unless you actually sit down and say, okay. Because first of all, I don't see a top two defenseman being traded. Unless you're trading a guy on potential to be a top two defenseman, like Colorado did with Eric Johnson, which at the time people felt they lost a trade. And a few years later, it definitely looks like, you know what, that trade is even. And, you know, with the legitimate number one defenseman, you could argue maybe Colorado even won it a little bit, but definitely even in that sense. And that would be guys like Tyler Myers or Eric Gabranson. Do either one of those intrigue you? Would you be willing to take a risk on them? Because right now they're not proven top pairing defensemen, but top draft picks who might mature into it.
Yeah, Myers interests me more than Gudbranson. I think that there's a higher end skill set there with Tyler Myers.
Yeah.
And he's stalling with the organization that he's with. The thing I like about Myers is that he's in that range now where he's come in, had some early success, been humbled, beaten down, and is probably ready for that second organization success that defensemen end up having. And a lot of times high draft picks end up having. So I Myers definitely interests me. I like Gudbranson. I don't know if the expectation would be for him to round into a top three or four defenseman. I'm not sure that that's within his range, but he plays the game with a little bit more edge. I don't know what the hockey sense is like with Gabranson, though. I think that's probably a little bit questionable. But he'll drop the mitts, and he's tough, and he's a big guy. So I wouldn't scoff at either one of those guys. But, yeah, it's a player like that. It's Jared Cowan in Ottawa, though I don't think there's any chance they'll move him. These are the type of guys. The guy in Jersey who's been a healthy scratch. I think he went fourth overall a few years ago.
Larson. He was down in the American League.
He was down in the American League, right? But very high draft pick for a reason. Good player, having trouble with his first organization. So maybe you try and find a way to squeeze him out of there and he turns the corner like Johnson has. So there are those guys out there, but I think organizations sometimes are loath to give them up because they put a few years into these guys. But those are the types of guys that you take a chance on, hope they round into form. That's not to say that they shouldn't be looking for the surefire bet. And I think they have the assets to get the sure bet. I don't know who it is yet, but I think that Craig McTavish needs to be willing to dip into what he considers his core to try and fix some of this problem on the back end.
I'm with you on that, Ryan. You know, we've batted this around every which way you can. But to me, and it's not a revelation, you know, the Oilers' goal scoring up front, the mix, we've addressed it a lot of ways. It isn't right. Everybody knows that. They need some more size. They need some more grit. But in terms of production, it's okay. It's not this high-flying team. Some people thought it would be, but it's okay.
Yeah.
The defense is a black hole. And if McTavish tinkers up front, good. You need to address it. But it won't matter until they go out and get a legitimate number one guy. And to me, you move anybody you have to. I'm not talking about a stupid bonehead trade. But everyone should be on the table because if you don't get that, what happens up front isn't going to matter. Now, am I off here?
I would say you're off with the use of the word everyone. I don't think everyone should be on the table. I don't think the Oilers should move Taylor Hall. To me, he's the untouchable player on this roster. He's the world-class player that they have, so I would remove him from that list.
Okay.
But and I'm not sure if you agree with that or not, Robin, but Jordan Eberle to me, if the return is high enough and it solidifies your top pairing on the back end, you have to consider it. If it's a younger guy that you'll get some use out of for a few years, you can't trade Jordan Eberle and get a really good defenseman for 2 years.
Nope.
You got to get somebody you're going to have for 4 or 5 years. You need somebody that's got some contract or some restricted status. So,
same term as what you're giving up, at least.
What's that? Sorry.
Same term as what you're giving up that the kids signed up. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, yeah, Taylor is the caveat that I would put on that. If I were the Oilers, unless the name is Shea Weber, I wouldn't be looking at moving Taylor Hall. I just think he's a world-class player, and he's getting better.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I don't think I would touch him. But I think everybody else, I mean, obviously you don't want to water yourself down in the middle, so you'd be loath to move Nugent Hopkins. But look, this is the way, the core as I see it, and kind of in this order, you go Taylor Hall, you go Ryan Nugent Hopkins, then you go Justin Schultz on the back because he's an offensive defenseman and he might not ever be the number one pairing guy that you want, but there's a lot of value there. And then I think you have Jordan Eberle, David Perron, Nail Yakupov, Sam Gagner. And I think any one of those last few names, whether it's Eberle, whether it's Gagner, whether it's Perron, what I'm saying is I think Perron has made his way into that core moving forward. I think the value that he's built into his game, mm-hmm. and the dollar figure he's at for the next 2 years, I see them wanting to build with David Perron, whereas before I don't think he was part of that group and that conversation.
Quickly, looking at the draft, some people think it's defense or bust. I don't agree. Let's say the Oilers pick three, and for some reason Ekblad is still there. Argument, yeah. Just like Seth Jones was last year. Do you think the Oilers need a centerman or a right shot defenseman?
Well, who's left on the board for forwards? I mean, I think that they have their eyes set on Draisaitl or Ekblad, and I think if both are on the board, I think they'll take Ekblad.
Okay.
That's what I think they'll do. That's probably what they should do. If this guy's as good as people think he is, and we've all seen him play a certain amount, it's time to start addressing the blue line. And that would be a real, real core piece. With Darnell Nurse and Aaron Ekblad moving forward, and then a couple of these other guys coming, you've got a nice core that's going to round into form. But again, one of the biggest problems that they have right now is they have a forward group, a core group at forward guys that probably in the next couple of years is going to be peaking and getting ready to win. And the blue line is years behind them. And that's a problem. You got to try and find a way to get it all to peak together. And that's why they need NHLers now, not letting Klefbom and Marinson and Nurse develop over a four-year period.
Yeah, that's interesting, Ryan. I think there's far more in the pipeline on the back end, even though I just called it a black hole right now. But it's not proven, and you're talking for an impact a year away at earliest for the guys who are up here now, if they don't take a step back, which they might, two and three years for other guys like Nurse. And, you know, but the thing is, at least there's some names, there's some possibilities there. Tell me a center that the Oilers have in their organization that they just got to get a look at.
It's not there, right? It's not there. And it's an issue. So, I think we're going to have Craig McTavish on tonight during the broadcast. And I think that this is the type of questions that James will be throwing at him. So it'll be interesting to hear what Craig has to say, because the timing of this development curve on the back end versus what they have up front, it's proving to be a bit of an issue. And Craig has used the word when talking about the blue line, development. He sees the solution through development. So it's interesting because we're not talking about getting Klefbom and Marinson and these guys to the point where they're serviceable NHLers. They need to become good NHL. Like, they need to become excellent defensemen.
Yeah.
Well, they might be legitimately 3 years or more away from truly being excellent defensemen. And that is why they need guys who are excellent defensemen now, because they have some excellent forwards. And we'll see what happens with the goaltending, but they got to get this thing to peak properly together. You can't have this group of forwards that's ready to go and then be relying on all these kids on the back end.
Or you're Nashville.
In a lot of ways, even Colorado last year had a real good group of young forwards, but the blue line just wasn't there. And now this year they've solidified their blue line, and you see the difference that it's made for them.
Shogar, enjoy the game from the crowd tonight. Try not to have too much popcorn.
Sounds good. It's the ice cream I got to watch out for.
I know.
Popcorn timeless.
I know. Oh, wow.
I might be sneaking up to the press box to grab some of that, though.
No. We'll put a lock on that tonight.
Okay, guys. Enjoy the game.